Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Spring and Kyle Mattson here of 95.7 The Game in San Francisco and Niners Wire and Candlestick Chronicles. And Kyle, can you remember, like, is last night's ending to the Giants-Dodgers game one of the worst endings in recent sports memory?
Yeah, I think so. Just in terms of not even so much the call, because bad calls happen. Like, that's just kind of a thing that we all deal with. Like, you sign up for that as a sports fan. The problem for me is that we're in 2021, and we still, there's no rule for what a check swing is or is not. There's no hard and fast if a batter's wrists break or if the bat gets to here or if there's no rule. And then to decide whether he swung or not, we're going to go down, we're going to leave home plate where there's a home plate umpire sitting 3 feet away from the batter, and we're going to go 110 feet down the baseline to that guy over there who may or may not have been paying attention, mind you, and we're going to go, hey, you, what did you see? And then, specific instance, like, that's an asinine process in itself. And then, in this specific instance, we're going, hey, we've got winner-take-all, one-run game, winning run at the plate. Hey, what did you see? And that guy went, yeah, let's finish this game. We're done. I did it. Like, it just, it sucked. It was the most anticlimactic way for that. It could have been 10-0, and the game ended on a strikeout, and it would have been more climactic than what happened. It was brutal.
Am I out of pocket for saying I'm still not in favor of, like, robots or sensors or anything like that? I like the human element of referees, umpires, all that. I understand. Maybe I've accepted that they're not going to get them right. They're going to miss calls. But, I mean, I feel like that's part of sports. I understand that it's a bigger platform now. There's millions of dollars at stake, people betting and all this other stuff. But you should know that when you get into putting money down on a sport, that it's an inexact science with referees and umps and all that other stuff. Am I alone with that, Kyle? Are you for the robots and the sensors and stuff like that?
I am on balls and strikes. It's just, it seems way too easy to not do it at this point. And with balls and strikes specifically, it makes it so much harder on hitters specifically. When you're standing there, you already have so many things to account for. Oh, and now, let's see, on Monday night, you have to expand your zone a little bit. Like, you're going to have to swing at those pitches off the outside corner. And then, okay, Tuesday, like, the pitcher only has half the bottom of the strike zone, so you can lay off a bunch of stuff. It makes it really, really difficult on a hitter, and that just seems like a really, really easy thing to get right and to fix. On the other hand, I think we would see a lot of things that aren't typically called strikes that we just have always seen as not strikes get called strikes and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I think it would take an adjustment for sure, but I think on balls and strikes, I think that's an easy thing to get right. That's just, like, impossible for a human being to do. But on the bases and whatnot, like, I think I agree a little bit. Like, the human element is sort of part of it. But specifically with the strike zone, like, that is almost impossible to do. And the fact that there are people who can get balls and strikes right like 95%+ of the time is remarkable. Mm.
Kyle Mattson, 95.7 The Game in San Francisco with us here on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. It's a bye week for the 49ers, Kyle, but does it feel like this season is close to slipping away for them?
Yeah, it sure does. It was supposed to be that it would get progressively easier to see them competing with the Bucks and the Packers and the Rams and all these top teams in the NFC, but it's getting harder and harder to see. And while the 49ers, I don't think they've gotten worse since week one, but they're definitely not getting better. And if you're treading water in the NFL, like, you're just going to continue getting bypassed. And that's just what happens is, you know, 2-3 is not horrible. You can certainly bounce back from that. But as all these other teams have been like, oh, look, the Cowboys are in the mix now. And, the Cardinals are actually really, really good. And the Vikings actually might be okay. Like, all these other teams are starting to kind of hit their stride. And now we're 5 weeks in, and we have no idea what the 49ers' direction is. We have no idea what their identity is. They are treading water, starting Jimmy Garoppolo to try and keep their heads afloat, to try and keep themselves afloat. And it's like, if you're doing that in the NFL and you're gunning for 9-8, like, what are you doing? That's what it seems like the spot that they're in right now. Like, they're just hoping to right the ship and make everything calm. And it's like, okay, that's cool. But next thing you know, it's week 12 and you're 5-6 and out of the playoff race because everybody else has gotten better.
Well, Kyle, while you're not wrong, like, they need to turn up now.
I know.
If they win two games that, and the people, look, they could, I can say they should win whatever the case may be. They have to actually go do it. So it doesn't matter what I think they should do. They got to get it done. But I look at the Colts and I look at the Bears. Those are two winnable games. You win that, now you're looking at a team that's 4-3 going into the Monday Night Football against the Rams. And maybe this guy isn't falling. So they got to win those two games if they, in my opinion, that they want to have a chance to do anything this year as far as playoffs wise goes. But I keep going back to the whole scenario that I laid out for you last week. They're not playing good football right now. And it's not like they're getting just beat up by teams. They're not doing little things. They're committing holding penalties. They're not executing blocks. The play calling isn't that great right now. They're not getting just outmanned and out-physicaled and out-talented by other teams. I think the things that are keeping them from being the team that we thought they might be are under their own control. So what do you think about that, where maybe it isn't as doom and gloom as we thought Sunday evening?
No, I think you're right in that, you know, you go beat Indianapolis and you go beat Chicago and you're 4-3 with a couple division games to really climb back into it. But I think that's the exact problem, is that all of their issues are mostly self-inflicted. What Trey Lance did last Sunday was to me pretty impressive, because how many times did they get into 1st-20 or 1st-25 and then 2nd-16? Like, it was just, they were behind the sticks so often. And that's kind of the biggest problem to me, is you say Indianapolis and Chicago are winnable games. Yeah, they're winnable, but those are games that you circled at the beginning of the year and like, yeah, they should definitely win those games. And now it's like, yeah, maybe. And then you get Arizona and Los Angeles, and they've not done anything through 5 weeks that makes me think they're going to beat Arizona or they're going to beat Los Angeles. They get Jacksonville, okay, that's a win. But then you get Minnesota, like, are you super confident that they're going to beat the Vikings the way the Vikings are playing right now?
The way they're playing,
I'm
they're
not.
1-5, Kyle. Like, we're talking about how bad the 49ers are. The Vikings are 1-5. They needed
a last-second game to a Bengals team that looked really good. They missed the chip shot field goal to just barely lose to the Cardinals. But that's exactly my point, is like, are you betting the house that they're going to beat the Vikings? I'm definitely not. Not the way they're playing right now. And then Seattle week 13, like, Russell Wilson's supposed to be back by then, and that becomes a much tougher game in Seattle. The Bengals, are playing really well right now. So you get the point. Like, there's all these teams that we were looking at the start of the year going, oh, man, easy schedule to close the year. But now all of a sudden it's not, and that's a little bit my point. And I think you're right. Like, if they go and they trounce the Colts and they go to Chicago and they win that game, and then they come home and they beat Arizona, okay, now it's like, okay, back on track. Mm-hmm. But the way they're playing through 5 weeks, there's nothing like, okay, they stopped committing holding penalties. That's not their only problem. Their quarterback play is bad. Their running back play has been subpar. Their defense is, to me, hanging on by a little bit of a thread right now. Like, it all has to go perfect for their defense to be good. They were excellent against Arizona, don't get me wrong, but it's like, can you get that performance from the defensive line every single week, in and week out?
Don't forget the play calling. The play calling has been an issue as well.
That I think is the biggest issue of all of them, because that's not supposed to be a problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they have Kyle Shanahan is supposed to be this genius on the cutting edge of offensive football who can produce 4,200 passing yards and 16 starts out of Nick Mullins, but he can't get Jimmy Garoppolo going. He's supposed to be able to get yards out of any running back, and he can't get Trey Sermon, his third-round pick that he traded up for, going? Like, what? Is it Brandon Ayuk, a first-round pick they traded up for? They can't get him going? What's the point? if everything has to be perfect for this offensive genius head coach to be able to generate yards and call the right plays. Like, it's just, there are so many things wrong that it's hard to see everything being fixed in enough time that going into L.A. in Week 18, that game's going to matter.
Kyle, speaking my language here, talking about Kyle Shanahan, I'm just saying a couple of quick notes here. Minnesota's, in fact, 2-3 and not 1-5. I get it, but just pointing that out. They're not awful.
No, 2-3.
Two, haven't mentioned this all day. Kyle keeps bringing up the Arizona Cardinals. They added a new tight end today.
They did.
He's not bad.
Yeah,
the Arizona Cardinals added Zach Ertz. So with all of that said, you just laid out all the flaws, Kyle. How do they get back on track?
Well, I don't know that they can necessarily. Like, call better plays.
Call better plays. That's not outlandish. Like, don't wait 44 minutes to get the ball to Deebo Samuel. That's not, like, impossible. Get the ball to him in the first quarter. It's just hopeless. Like, no, it's not hopeless. Don't put yourself in 1st and 20. Don't stop with the holding penalties. Stop with the mental errors. Stop being more laser focused on what you're doing as far as the play calling and understanding the scheme. There's things that can be done easily that can improve them. Once again, if they were getting beat by 3 touchdowns every game, you can be as laser focused if you want. You're not good enough. That's not the case. They're losing by 1 score all the time, and they have a ton of errors. Defensive pass interference calls on 3rd down. You know what I mean? Like, these are things that are fixable. Will they fix it? I don't know. But they're not just outmanned and overmatched every time they play out there.
They were dominated by the Packers for most of that game.
Oh.
They got their asses handed to them by the Seahawks for most of that game.
How?
They
got whooped.
You watching the same game I was watching? Yes.
Absolutely. They got whooped in the first half.
They got a late touchdown against the Seahawks to make that look respectable, because the Seahawks were like, yeah, take 4 minutes to score. We don't care.
So the 49ers, Kyle,
Philadelphia.
Hold on, Kyle. Let's not leave the Seahawks.
The only reason they got on the board against the Packers was because of Trenton Cannon's huge kickoff return before the end of the first half. And even then, it took them 10 freaking plays to get in the end zone from the 20.
So let me ask you this. Let's go back to the Seahawks. Let's take it one game at a time. The Seahawks whooped the 49ers. In the first half, the Seahawks were whooping the 49ers. That's what you're telling me.
No.
That's what you just said. You literally just said that. You said they whooped them the whole game.
First half.
He said they whooped them the whole game.
Most of that game. I very specifically
What is most? They didn't even do it half the game. So how did they do it most of the game?
Because the 49ers got out to a scorching hot start defensively. The Seahawks, I think, went 3 and out on 5 consecutive drives. And the 49ers were ahead 7-0.
I'm not disputing any of that. You told me they whooped them the whole game.
No, I didn't, dude.
You said they whooped them most of the game. If they didn't whoop them for 50% of the game, how'd they whoop them for most of the game?
Okay, semantics, that's fine. They got worked by the Seahawks.
Okay.
For half the game? Does that make you feel better?
They got worked in the third quarter, if you ask me. Of that game. Russell Wilson did whatever he wanted in the third quarter, and that was pivotal. But that's kind of like my point. They did not get whooped most or the whole game. There are periods in these games where they're losing focus, they're not executing, and the other teams that they're playing are taking advantage of it. And because the Niners aren't executing the way they should be, those third quarters where they are getting worked, that's the game. Like Arizona, they didn't play great on Sunday, but in the fourth quarter, they made the plays they needed to play to make, and the 49ers didn't, and that's the reason why they lost that game. If they can cut those things off, they can absolutely get back into the season.
Okay, but that's, I guess, my whole point, is, if they can just play better, that's silly. If the Golden State Warriors just played better last year, they would have made the playoffs. You know, there are flaws that are leading to these things you're talking about that I don't think they can overcome. And at the end of the day, which is a phrase I hate, I don't know why I just used it, but Jimmy Garoppolo is still their quarterback. Their quarterback play isn't going to be good enough to overcome these defensive lapses that they continue to have, and I think they will continue to have because, frankly, they're just not putting out good enough players.
Well, look, you may be right, Kyle. When you talk about the Warriors, Warriors lost games by 60 and 50 points last year. Niners haven't lost by 4 touchdowns yet this year. So
they lost by 17 combined points.
It could happen. The 49ers could be terrible. I just think there's things that are fixable that are in-house that doesn't have to necessarily do with talent. That's what I see from them. You could be right. They could be hopeless. But I think there's things before you get into talent.
I never said hopeless.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm just literally saying they could be hopeless. I'm not saying you said it. But they could be hopeless. But I think before you get to that point, I think there's things that they can handle within themselves that could help turn the season around.
Absolutely. But as we sit right here going into the week 6 bye, it's there are so many things that they have to figure out and get right, most notably what's happening under center. And that's the spot that is of the biggest concern to me, because what we've seen out of Jimmy Garoppolo so far doesn't lead me to believe that anything's going to get better offensively. They're averaging less than 5 yards a play, which is bottom five in the league when in the last 2.5 games that Garoppolo played. It was a little better with Trey Lance, but still not great. That's kind of the largest concern that I have. And it's I just don't see how it's going to get just magically fixed.
Kyle Madsen, Niners Wire, Candlestick Chronicles, live replay of me asking how the 49ers are going to fix this.
I don't know. I don't know if... I don't quite know how to answer.
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. Kyle, thanks for joining us, buddy.
I love you, Kyle.
We appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I love you too, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.